Father, we come before you this morning, and we thank you that your word will transform us. Lord, we stand. The reason why I said let's stand is we stand at attention, Father. We are your army. We're the called out ones to go forth. And we say, yes, sir, whatever you say, Lord. We're ready, we're willing, and we're going to go. So I thank you that you're going to transform us, you're going to challenge us, you're going to impart wisdom by your spirit today. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Well, in the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about, we're talking a lot about the heart. We've been talking how we're no longer under the law, we're under grace. We're no longer slaves to sin. We have authority over sin. We can live in victory without being focusing on the right and wrong things to do. We can focus on life in Christ and walk in victory. That sums up what we've been talking about. And I think in the weeks to come, we're going to be moving more into some theology and going through some of the books of the Bible, because we need some of that. Amen. We really need to start studying the books of the Bible together, and just going down that road. Now, Pastor Jacques was supposed to be here this morning, but him and my mother went to see my brother's church. They're having their 5th anniversary. Amen. 5th anniversary. So they wanted to go and just support them on their 5th anniversary. So they said to say hi to all of you. So this morning I want to talk about, title of my message is, Suck It Up. And it's actually talking about the capillary action of believers. The capillary action of believers. I'm going to explain that. I'm not going to leave you hanging. It is the ability of a liquid to flow in narrow spaces without the assistance of and in opposition to external forces like gravity. Okay? The transportation of water from the roots to the leaves of the tree happens due to this underlying principle. All right? And so we're talking about sucking it up. And I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. Amen? And so let's turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. And we have it up on the screen. Blessed, I'm reading out of the Amplified. I don't think we have the King James there. But blessed with spiritual security is the man who believes and trusts in and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confident expectation is in the Lord. All right? Verse 8, for he will be nourished like a tree planted by the water that spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear the heat when it comes, but its leaves will be green and moist, and it will not be anxious and concerned in the year of drought, nor stop bearing fruit. Isn't that good news? So when we have faith and rely and trust in the Lord, there's an infusion of nourishment, okay, that brings life. All right? So when we have faith in God, it actually provides a nourishment that comes from a deep well that's hidden where nobody can see. That you can't see the roots, you can't see what's under the ground, but you can see that the tree is bearing fruit. And it has very much to do with your own personal relationship with the Lord. And Jeremiah, as we know, is talking in parables. Jesus talked in parables. Jeremiah, many of the prophets spoke in parables. But he's likening to what's happening in the spirit. Now, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13 says, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Okay? Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth. Okay? And now, I think this is interesting because Jesus, the Lord is saying, those who depart from me will be written in the earth. Did you know what Jesus said to the disciples? That Jesus sent the disciples out. He said, guys, I'm going to send you out two by two. I want you to go and extend the kingdom of God. I want you to pray for the sick, and I want you to cast out devils. How many remember that? So they came back, and they were saying to Jesus, hey, Jesus, you know, this is awesome. Demons are subject to us in your name. We say your name and like people screech and demons leave. It's awesome and they're excited. And then Jesus, hey, let me tell you my story. I saw the devil fall from heaven like lightning. You think your story is great. My story is better. So they're having this little talk, right, about the power of God. All right? And then all of a sudden, Jesus says something very interesting. He says, don't rejoice because demons are subject to you. Rejoice because your name is written in heaven. It's not written in the earth. You have an eternal place with God. Isn't that great news? And then Jeremiah 17:13 says, because they forsook the Lord who was the fountain of living water. Amen. And so God is the fountain. Jesus Christ is that fountain of living water. And we need to be rooted and grounded in him. All right? So let's break this down. Now, if we trust in the Lord, these will be the results, okay? We will be nourished like a tree planted by the water. The Lord will be the one who brings satisfaction to our soul. If we will stay in God and figure out what it means to be rooted by streams of water, because it means something, we will find nourishment for our souls. Number two, you will not fear the heat when it comes, but your leaves will be green and moist. And I want to say this, when a fiery trial of adversity comes in your life, and they will come. How many know that? They come, all right? Bad times will come, hard times will come, heated situations will come, but there will be peace instead of fear. It's amazing that you can live as a Christian and go through a tragedy, go through a trial, go through something that would be unbearable for most people and not have fear but have peace that, hey, God is in control. I can get through this situation. I have confidence. And everybody else would be like, I'd be freaking out. But you say, no, I'm at peace. Why? Because you're planted. You're planted in a place and your root system is sucking up the life of God. How many want to be in that place? You know, Joseph was in prison. He was cast into a well. He was sold into slavery. And God was with him when he was with Potiphar. And the scripture says that every stage of his life, the Lord was with him. He was doing a great job. He was serving. And then all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife accuses him of, you know, trying to be with her. And the next thing you know, he's cast into prison. And in the midst of the prison, in a dark place, he's crying out, God, why is this happening to me? But even in that place, the Lord was with him and he rose up and became the leader or the, what do you call the guy in charge of the prison? The warden of the prison. Wherever he was thrown, he would prosper. Isn't that good news? And it didn't matter when the heat came. The more the heat came, the more he prospered. The more the trials came, the better he did. Why? Because God was with him, and his source was in his relationship with God. And it didn't matter. You could throw any trial, any adversity, and he would prosper in that place. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to have valleys. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have hard times, but you're going to learn to soar above them and not be affected by them. Is that good news this morning? So number one, you'll be nourished like a tree planted by water. Number two, you don't have to fear the heat when it comes because even in the midst of the trials, your leaves will be green and moist. Everybody else will be bare and have no fruit and have no life, but you'll have life. Why? Because you're planted in the right place. You're sucking up the living water that's going to bring life. You know, the third thing is, you will not be anxious and concerned in the year of drought, nor will you stop bearing fruit. In other words, there's going to be no more seasons of dryness. Why? Because revival is not dependent on an outpouring of the Spirit, but it's supplied by an outflowing of a hidden supply. Do you hear what I'm saying? Sometimes we have a worldview, we have a mindset And we think it's a godly mindset, but it's actually, it's not right. I used to think, I got to seek God for an outpouring. The Bible says he poured out his spirit 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost. And I had to learn how to build and allow the river of God to flow out of me so that I could be filled with the spirit at all times and not dependent on a sovereign move of God. Does that make sense to anybody? No more seasons of dryness. Revival is not dependent on an outpouring of the Spirit. It's supplied by an outflow of the streams of God. Isn't that good news? Now, what's Jeremiah talking about? Jeremiah is actually talking about our hearts. Say, how do you know? Well, let's look at the next verse here. Jeremiah 17:9. We'll go there together. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. The Amplified says, and it's extremely sick. Who can understand it and fully know its secret motives? All right? So God is talking about the heart. And we need to guard the heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Isn't that correct? And so we need to guard the heart. So how do we do that? We have to trust God, because if we trust him and we rely on him, it's going to be like we're planted by the rivers of living water. Let's see what Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 38. He who believes in me, who adheres to and trusts in and relies on me as the scripture has said. And I know I've keep going back to the scripture, because the Lord says keep putting it before the people. He who believes in me as the scriptures has said. That's the key. There's a lot of people that believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in him as the scripture have said. Because if you believe that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, out of your belly, out of your innermost being, which is your heart, will flow continually rivers of living water. Isn't that good news? So we're actually in a place that if we would choose to trust and rely in Christ as the scripture has said, out of our bellies will flow continually rivers of living water. Does it mean you're going to not go through trials? No, you're going to go through trials. You're going to have good days and bad days? Yes. But at the end of it all, you're constantly going to be aware of the flowing of God's life that brings victory. How many agree with that? Isn't that good news? And so, let's continue to look at this together. I like the psalmist, because he uses the same passage of scripture in Psalms chapter 1, verse 3. Let's look at that, verse 1 to 3. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves will never wither, and they will prosper in some of the things that they do. Is that what it says? Oh, in all they do. All means all. But there's a recipe here. I want to kind of dig it apart. There's the don'ts and the do's. I want you to say that with me. Go, there's the don'ts and there's the do's. All right? Now, some people believe because we're under grace that God just does everything for us and there's no responsibility on our part. And that's the ditch. Say, that's the ditch. Okay? We're under grace. We live by grace. We're not under the law. But we're in a covenant, and covenant is two ways. Now, let's look at this. Don't follow the advice of the wicked. Don't stand around with sinners. Don't join in with mockers. I want to talk about this for a second. Don't take the advice of people that aren't going to give you biblical advice. Say, this is how I would deal with your marriage. This is how I would deal with that situation. You know, you're pregnant, and you know, you really are too young to raise a child or the situation, so this is what I would advise you. No, don't listen to the advice of the wicked, because if you do, you're going to clog up the flow of the living water. Okay? Don't follow the advice of the wicked. Don't stand around with sinners. In other words, if you're going to go with the purpose to reach sinners for Jesus. Come and say, hey, you don't know God. I want to show you the love of God. Jesus, he sat with sinners. He didn't stand around with them and hang out. We used to go and stand around the food court at the mall when I was a teenager. How many remember that? Stand around and talk and do life together, right? Don't stand around with people that are not in covenant with God. Don't join in with people who mock. All right? And this is David speaking. The way my mind works is I see David in a meeting before battle. And he's got all his advisors and he's got all these people around. And he said, okay, we need to, what's the next step? We got to go to war. We got to take out these Philistines. And people are coming and they're saying, this is what you need to do, David. You need to do this. You got to go in and slaughter the babies. Or you got to do this. And he starts like, they're giving him advice. And he's sitting there going, I don't know which way to go. And he's saying, I can't stand around with these people, right? And the next one is, there's people in the crowd who are mocking certain things. And he's sitting there going, I don't know what to do. But then the next thing happens, he goes back to his home or his castle, all right? And it says, and his delight is in the law of the Lord because he meditates on it day and night. So I see David trying to have like a business meeting, trying to figure out what the next plan of Israel is, and with all his advisors and all these people. And then he goes, I just have to be with God. And he goes home and he's sitting there going, okay, what does God's word say day and night? What is the Lord saying through the prophets? What is the Lord saying through the scriptures? What is the right decision? As Roger said this morning, going through Proverbs, one chapter every day, searching the scripture. And I can see David looking, saying, God, I need your voice. I need your direction. I need your word to speak. I'm going to meditate on your word day and night. Does that make sense? How many have been in a place where you've come home and you're just like, I don't know which direction to go in. And you go to the Bible and you start going to your concordance and you start looking up what the word of God says concerning that situation. How many have done that? Isn't that awesome? And the Bible says the word meditate actually means to ponder by speaking to oneself. Now, some people think it's crazy to talk to yourself. But it's not. Actually, I went to my buddy's house one day, and his father and a friend were under the truck working on the engine. And I could hear them talking, and he said, I think that you need, can you pass me the wrench? And I heard the other guy say, well, we left the wrench in the toolbox. Oh, okay. Well, we got to remove this wire. No, I don't think it's this wire. I think it's the other. So I hear the two of them talking. And I look underneath, and it's just the one guy. And I said, now we have a problem. So it's okay to talk to yourself as long as you don't answer yourself. So meditating on the word is to ponder by speaking to yourself. So if you delight in the word of the Lord and you ponder and speak the word of God to yourself day and night, you'll be like a tree planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Your leaf will never wither, and you will prosper in everything that you do. All right? So don't follow the advice of the wicked. Don't stand around with sinners. Don't join in with people who mock and talk bad about other churches and other people, even other religious groups. You should have compassion for those who are deceived. Don't talk bad about them. Pray for them. And what's happening is people will hang around with mockers and talk bad about leaders and pastors and churches and the moves of God and criticize. And then they go and get in the Word of God and say, hey, God, I want the living water. And no, you can't have it because you shut up the well, because it's two things, the do's and the don'ts. Amen? So, don't join in with mockers. And the do's is delight in the law of the Lord. Ponder by talking to yourself the word of God day and night. Reprogram your mind with what God says about you and about the world and about life. Okay? Because the Word of God is a defensive weapon, isn't it? When we speak the Word of God, it has power to tear down strongholds. The Word in itself. When Jesus stood up against the devil in the desert, he used the Word of God to fight the devil, didn't he? And so we need to use the Word of God by declaring out of our mouth what the Scripture says about us. When you feel like you're not worthy, you have to say, no, I am worthy, because Jesus, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives inside of me. Amen? And you begin to declare the Word of God over your life. So, the Word of God is a defensive weapon, but it's also a purging tool. Say, purging tool. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between the joint and the marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." That's what the Word of God does. It's alive. And it's powerful. And I'm going to tell you, I mean, I remember times, I'll give you a little bit, because you already think I'm crazy, I can tell you this. I remember in two occasions, once was about 12 years ago, I was preparing for a sermon. It was a Saturday night. It was around midnight. Just going through the Word of God. And all of a sudden, the light bulb went on about a certain scripture. I said, I never saw that before. Has anyone had that moment? And it was like, I got so excited that I went out and I ran around Trenton. I don't know what happened. It was I was just bombarded. The energy of God's spirit. I was like, woo! And I was like running around the city at 1 o'clock in the morning, and the cops are like, we better get this guy, right? Now I'm just boogieing. Why? Because something came alive, and it brought freedom in my life just because I was in the Word of God. Because it's alive, it's not dead, it's powerful. It has the ability to change your life. And it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. I can't explain it. But there's something about sitting under the preaching of the Word, or there's something about studying the Word of God for yourself, where you walk away and you feel like you're clean. Why is that? Why is it that you can read some philosophy, or you can read, you know, some good poems or some good, you know, stuff, and it's good and you enjoy it. But when you read the Bible, it can actually change you, where you walk away and say, I don't know what, something's different. Has anyone had that experience before? Look what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 1 to 3. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. You're already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. I have sat in churches sometimes, and I've come in feeling like I'm dragging my feet, like I've had a hard week. I just don't even want to be there. I know none of you feel that way. And I'll sit down, and I'll hear the word of the Lord being declared and being spoken over the church, and I hear it, and I walk out, and I don't know how to explain it. I just feel clean. I feel like I can go another week. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? That's because the Word of God is alive, it's active, it's powerful. There's a force behind the Word of God. It's not just a book, all right? And we don't even know how it happens. The Word of God actually just goes and grows in your life and transforms your life, and we don't even know how it happens, but it happens. Something is taking place. We have no control over it. The only thing we can do is put it in and declare it out. Put it in and declare it out. And the Word of God will actually do the work. You don't even have to do anything. Does anyone hear what I'm saying this morning? Jesus says here in Mark chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, he said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, he The seed sprouts and grows, but the farmer himself does not know how it happens. That seed has been planted, and it has the power, if the conditions are right, to grow all by itself. Isn't that good news? And so there's two things we have to do. We have to guard our hearts, for out of it flows the issues of life. We have to spend time with the Holy Spirit and say, God, I just need to make sure that the love of God is being poured out into my heart, that you have control over my life. You are the center of my life. Lord, come and do what you want to do. Have that submissive attitude towards the Lord, and he will come, and the love of God will be poured upon your heart, and you'll be transformed. And then, secondly, you have to take the word of God in as nourishment, and then let it do what it does. Isn't that good? I mean, don't get in some deep places in your life. God is good. How many have ever had this? I just want to see your hands. Had a situation where you heard the word being preached, or you were studying yourself the scripture, and all of a sudden it was like you walked away and you said, I feel free. I feel clean. I feel washed. And this is important because David is here talking to his counselors, and I could see him just in that meeting. And I know because I've been there, and you're talking to people, and you're like, I don't know. And then you go home and you seek the Lord, you seek the word of God, and the Lord provides the answers, okay? I can see that. And what the problem with the church is, the problem with most of you in this place, and me included, is that the church, we used to come home and open the Bible and begin to look for truth. Now we go home and we open the mighty Google. And we say, what is the answer to my problems? I'm serious. And you know what? We don't even study to show ourselves approved, that a workman that we might not be ashamed. We just say, okay, oh, I can't remember where that verse is. Oh, it's so much a hassle. I'll just type in a few words that I remember in the Google. And boom, Google knows God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe if you would have went home and opened your Bible and began looking for the scripture, God would have spoke to you and broke you out of that situation and brought you to another level. But and I'm not saying that we can't use the computer. I'm saying that we got problems. And I do. Maybe you guys are more spiritual than I am. But do you hear what I'm saying? All right. I know the Bible won't tell you how to make cupcakes and stuff like that. I understand that. But I'm saying just in life. You feel a little symptom in your body, and it's like, I got an itchy elbow. Okay, Google, itchy elbow comes up. You could have, you know, this hereditary disease. You're like, oh, what is the word of God? It says, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. I thank you, God, that I just command that thing to go. Is that all right? And so your homework assignment this week is really to say, Lord, I repent for worshiping Google, and you're laughing, but it's true, right? We have to get back to a place where we come back and we meditate, we ponder to ourselves the word of God. Say, God, speak to me. I want to chew this up. I want you to bring the life that is in the word of God, and I want it to be in my soul. I want it to be part of who I am, that I might not be ashamed, that I'm going to go to new levels in God, that I'm going to have breakthrough. Amen? And so, say, God, help me. I don't have too much more to say. Let's stand and let's pray. Let's just stand. Hallelujah. And then I'd like to have the worship team come back. And I'd like to, let's just press in and just do a couple songs. Amen. So, we want to be trees that are planted. And what that looks like practically according to the scripture, if you're truly planted by waters, that means you're meditating on the word of God and you're avoiding the influence of those who are not walking with God. Okay, you're not taking counsel advice from people that aren't walking with God. You're taking your counsel and advice from the word of God. You're allowing it to transform you. And I believe that God's calling us to a place where we will, even as Roger said, begin to just be disciplinary. habitually create habits. I'm going to spend time with God, even if I don't feel like it. I'm going to read the Word of God and ask Him to speak it into my heart. Can we do that? All right, so that's our decision this week. Let's pray together. Say, Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mighty Word. We thank You for Your precious Spirit. And we know that the Spirit and the Word agree. So we ask this week that You would remind us to spend time in Your Word instead of time with Google. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right, let's do some worship together. Bianca?
Bring your tired and bring your shame. Bring your guilt and bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your game? You will always be much more to me. Every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me I'm not right, but that's all right. 'Cause I hear a voice and He calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough, and greater is the One living inside of me than He who is living in the world. In the world.
That's okay, 'cause I hear a voice and He calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough, and greater is the One living inside of me than He who is living in the world.
How He sees me and it makes me love Him more and more.
He's greater, He's greater.
There'll be days I lose the battle. Grace says it doesn't matter, 'cause the cross already won the war.
He's greater, He's greater.
I'm learning to run freely, understanding just how He sees me and it makes me love Him more and more.
He's greater,
'cause I hear a voice and He calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough, but greater is the One living inside of me than He who is living in the world.